Yep. Thank you. Great. How's everybody doing? Good morning. Good, good, good. Good. Yes. I just want to just continue a little bit on the foundation. This has been on my heart, you know, for a number of weeks. And, you know, just on the foundation, actually, we've been talking about prayer, worship and other stuff. And I think this is a critical foundation to have, is actually our faith as another stone in the foundation. And specifically, a childlike faith. Not a great faith. You know, I can go and read, we can look at the stories in the Old Testament of people of great faith and be encouraged and inspired. But sometimes I come away thinking, yeah, that's them, but I'm never going to be used. I'm never going to have that great faith. And I understand there's a gift of faith where God, you know, deposits supernaturally for an occasion, a situation where we, you know, have not even tried to drum it up, but actually God has downloaded into our hearts, into our minds, our spirit, a gift of faith for something. But this morning, I just want to stay away from that and come and take a step back and start with a childlike faith that Jesus talked about in the Gospels, having a childlike faith and what that looks like. So if we can turn to Matthew chapter 18, if you've got your Bibles or the Bible app on your phone, it's only one or two verses. But I just like to read that, and Jesus is given an illustration, an example, not just because he likes children or loves children, but actually he wants to make such an important statement to what it is and what it's like to have childlike faith. And Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." We'll just wait for that roadmap. Unless you are converted, unless you come like a child and learn like a child the ways of a child, you cannot even enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in, Jesus says, unless you become like a child. With a childlike spirit, with a faith-filled simplicity. Growing up as a child, Christmas was a big occasion, like for many. And as a child, you know, I got lots of presents. There were six of us in the family, and we got lots of presents. And, you know, I didn't go up and ask, oh, do I deserve that present for my mum and dad? Have I done enough chores this year to earn this amount of presents? Have I said or done the wrong or right thing to them? Have I been an obedient child? None of that. All I did, I just received those presents as a gift. We cannot and we must not try to earn our way into the kingdom of God. It isn't by works, it isn't by earning what we have or haven't done. It's actually just receiving the kingdom of God as a little child, humbling ourselves without any works or display, humbling ourselves, and we receive the kingdom of God. This is from the mouth of Jesus. However, when we are in the kingdom, we have to work to stay in it. And that is by remaining, staying connected, working out our salvation. There's work to be done once you're in the kingdom. but there's not work to be done on your part and my part to enter the kingdom. You see the difference? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let's turn to just over the page, Matthew 19, 13 and 14. And then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Wasn't that good this morning? He was able to just to do that with the family, you know, with Ben. And, you know, just an expression, a visual thing of what God in Jesus did. You know, that actually he loved to bless people. He loved to pray for the little children. And the disciples rebuked him. Rebuked Jesus. Fancy rebuking Jesus. But Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then in Matthew 10, another part. Matthew 10, verse 15. And they were bringing children or infants, and some commentaries say babies, to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. Rebuked the parents. How's that? But Jesus saw this and he was indignant and said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Have you ever noticed how, I'm sure you have, how children are open, are honest, are teachable, are eyes filled with wonder and amazement around them, what's going on, are trusting with an uncomplicated trust. They just simply trust. Childlikeness, not a childish. Jesus says childlike faith. There's a difference between childlike and childish. Yes. Huge difference. Jesus said, I want you to think, speak, act like a child when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to my ways, when it comes to actually experience in me and how dependent they are, children. Ben and Simon, thank you. Can't see you. We're just hugging, you know, how they were just looking to mom and that, the dependence. They're so dependent on their parents, so dependent. And have you noticed that children, they get over stuff quicker than adults? Last week we were at the Lamp Light camp and getting to know the other believers from the church there. And the last day, just for a weekend on Sunday afternoon, I thought I'll sit around the family I've not sit around all weekend. And they had four small children. There were 27 under the age of 10. There's only 50 of us plus, but there was 27, so it's a quiet place. So, but this lovely family have four small children, and I thought, okay, I'll sit with them and start chatting with them. So they had a four-year-old son sitting down already, and I said to him, oh, can I sit here? And he goes, no. And he started literally weeping and crying, tears running down his face. And you had that moment, okay, is it me? I said to his father, I said, tell me he does that to every stranger. He goes, oh yeah, he just had a bad experience with, you know, or just someone just kind of got in his face and upset him. So literally he was quite, he moved, he had to be moved. I didn't, you know, I could have moved on that. But his father moved and said, oh no, stay there, and put him on the other side of the table. But as the meal, you know, got going and we were eating, you know, I just after about 5 minutes, put up my hand across the table and said, hey, give me a high five. And he gave me a high five with a big smile. Children get over stuff a lot quicker than adults. We seem to hang on to it. The hurt, the offence. Then we get cynical, then we get sarcastic, then we get dull of hearing. Our hearts become closed. Jesus says, continually be like a child as you walk in the kingdom of God. It's not a one-off experience that we might have humbled ourselves. It's a continuation. Life with Jesus is supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be simple. It's not complicated. The world is complex and complicated. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is not complicated. The gospel message is very simple. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Believe in him and you will be saved and one of his children. How complicated is that? How difficult in our understanding is that? It's not. It's very simple. It's so Jesus is so countercultural to what the world thinks and how to get to certain places. Very simple. And there's a song, a simple gospel. I can't remember the name of the singer, but we have sang it at the storefront. Just a simple gospel. Matthew 18. Let's go back to that. The disciples came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And some of you might remember Muhammad Ali. Yeah. What was he saying? I am the greatest. He's a boxer. He was a boxer. I am the greatest. I sting like a bee. I float like a butterfly. That's what he's saying was. I am the greatest. Self-proclaimed. And here the disciples of Jesus was asking him this question. Who is the greatest? Verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a child to himself and sat him before them and said, truly, when he says truly, I listen carefully. I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He is the greatest. Unless we humble ourselves, greatness will elude us in the kingdom. So he wasn't saying, oh, guys, that is a stupid question to ask. He didn't. He answered the question. But he answered it maybe differently than what they were expecting. How many have been in a situation, life circumstances, where you've prayed to God about something and he's answered you totally the different way than you maybe thought he should have answered? Mm-hmm. Right? He does that. He's great at that. Mm-hmm. And so he answered the question, but he said, you guys, you've got to understand something. Unless you have that childlikeness that eventually becomes Christlikeness in our lives as we grow in faith, you miss it. You miss greatness. You can be great in the kingdom of God. We can could be great. I can be great in the kingdom of God. But I have to do it with an attitude as a child. I have to do it through humility. I have to do it through servant. Matthew 5, 8. Matthew 5, 8. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes, and he's going through a list of what it is to be in the kingdom of God. If you want experience, if you want to live in the kingdom of God. And in verse 8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure, innocent, childlikeness, wonder, purity in heart. The promise is, if you like that, you will see God. What a promise. What a promise. So I think at times, situations that we might face ourselves and in present situations, circumstances, am I seeing God in it? If I'm not, I got to ask the question to myself, why not? Am I seeing it as a child? Am I seeing it as humble? Am I seeing it as God, what are you trying to show me about yourself? Teach me about yourself in this situation. About him very self, himself. It's a good question to ask. What can I see about your majesty in this situation? Because he says, and you know what a promise is, you've got to do it. We've got three girls, most of you know, growing up. We asked them, says, you know, we try to teach them, you know, what a promise is. And they said, Dad, Mum, you've got to do it. When you say, I promise, it means I've got to do it. Now, as parents, we've failed at times in that. We haven't always got it right when we've said, oh, I promise. However, God does not fail. However, God doesn't lie. However, God is true to his promises. They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So when God promised something to us, he backs it up because that's who he is. So when we come as a child, when we come with a pure simplicity, wonder, amazement, childlike faith, we will see God more deeply, more meaningfully, and encounter him in such marvelous ways. I love Angela, you know, that, you know, 2.5 years being a Christian, you know, a testimony of just having that childlike faith, you know, a couple of weeks ago, sharing about, you know, prayed about it, I need a car, God answered the car, thank you Jesus. There was no airs and graces, no big, explanation of it. It's just actually a childlike faith, learning to grow in her faith towards a dad, a father that is good. Mm-hmm. And that loves to give gifts, that loves to provide another car this morning. I love that. Going through, you know, another period in my life, this early in February time, you know, of lack of work again. You know, worry comes up again, doubts come up again, fears come up again. Those of you who run your own companies, I'm sure you've had those moments where it's dry period, where you've got to push into God, you know, and work through it. You know, you have to attack worry, doubt, fear, unbelief with faith. You have to attack it. You have to attack it. The disciples had to do that in the Gospels when there's storm on the lake. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. I don't believe that was a rebuke so much as a reminder. If you have a little faith, guys, you could have stopped the storms. Peter walking on the water. Another passage. I won't go to that. I can give you the scriptures in a minute. You can read them yourself. walking on water. Then he looked to the side. Doubt and unbelief came down. He could have continued. And Jesus said, you of little faith. If you had a little faith, you could have walked on water. Feeding the 5,000, where could we get the food? The mustard seed, a small, tiny mustard seed. you can't even see it. A little faith put into action changes things. It really does. We can think sometimes, oh, it's got to be great faith, it's got to be big faith, I've got to fast and pray, and there's times for that. But generally, day to day, it's that little faith, Jesus says, in a great big God, that can do it. That can do it. If you want the scriptures for those to read it, is Matthew 6, about eating, drinking, what to wear. You know, they're worried about, you know, how to look, how to dress, how to eat. You know, Jesus said, little faith. Matthew 8, storm of the lake, the fear. Matthew 16, feeding the people. And Matthew 14, Peter walking on the water, doubt. So worry, fear, doubt, and unbelief. The disciples faced, and we face. And we have to attack it, and they have to attack it with a little bit of faith. And then the mustard seed, Matthew 17, verse 20. About last month at the leadership team meeting, that a lady got up at the front and says, hey guys, I just want to say that actually, you know, we are all God's children. We are all his kids. We forget that time as leaders. You know, we've got all the knowledge, or we've been to a lot of conferences, and all, you know, we've got all the sayings, how to put it in, but actually deep down, we're just his kids. And we forget that at times. We're just his kids. We must become childlike in order for him to become our dad. Graham Cook, in the book I'm reading at the moment, got it for Christmas, Living in Independence and Wonder. That's the book. And a little bit of passage he says about this. It's vital for us to be childlike. It's the only way we can grow in Christian maturity. Think about it. Maturity is not a gift. If it was, I'll be at the front, first in the line. But having a childlike faith and growing that, you become mature. Become mature. He goes on to say, we need to recover, to cultivate, develop, maintain a childlike sense of wonder about God's majesty. Worship, thankfulness, gratitude really helps that. Again, simple stuff. I like simple stuff. Don't any rude comments? Not because I'm simple-minded. But it's very simple. It's not complicated. Worship, thanksgiving, that increasing on our lives, that helps us. That really does help us with our faith. And I think our faith gets attacked more than anything else. Through circumstances, through situations, through people, through the enemy of our lives. What did Jesus say to Peter when Satan required permission to sift Peter like wheat? Jesus turned to Peter and said, I have prayed for you. That's a good start. That your faith would not fail. That's even good. How many know that Jesus gets his prayers answered? Great. So Jesus is praying over you, over your situation. He's praying for us that our faith would not fail. And it's never just about us, really. God's always got a bigger agenda around it. Because then he goes on and says, so that you can go back to your brothers and strengthen them. So God is present in our situation. He helps us. He's praying for us and with us. But as we are encouraged in our faith, we can strengthen and share our faith with other people. It's always bigger, the situation we might face ourselves in that. It's not just about that situation. Sometimes God, most times, wants to reveal himself in a fresh way to us because of the situation. If we didn't have the situation, we wouldn't be kind of tuning in maybe quickly to God. Later on, Peter actually learnt the lesson in faith, and that he writes in 1 Peter 6-7 that how precious and valuable is our faith, he says, when you go through trials and tribulation. How precious and valuable. It's more precious and valuable than gold. More than that. And he goes on in chapter 5, verse 7. That casting all your worries upon Jesus. Why? Because he has the ability to care for you and help you in the situation. He learned that 30 plus years later from a young fisherman to growing in faith and in character and the nature of God in his life. I grew up a little bit of a hypochondriac. Else, Marie? I did. I say that because when I used to, with my mum, used to watch hospital TV programs, I used to watch them and I think, I'm going to be like, I'm going to have that disease. I'm going to have that sickness. I know it sounds crazy, but my life was full of worry, fear, and, you know, all that as a young 14 to, you know, onwards kind of thing. So my mum said, well, you better stop watching those TV programs. You know, that might help. How many have prayed or asked or spoke to someone and says, I wish I had more faith? Right. I had that question asked to me this week from a, I'll say it right, osteopath. I just, you know, just on my joints aching. So I'm on the table. He's not a Christian, 2 years in Canada, come from England, and just asked me, how's it going? What's life here like? And he knows I'm a Christian. And his mum's got faith, but of a different religion. And he goes, I wish I had more faith. I'm there laid out. And I said, what do you do at those moments? And I said, well, actually, I don't think it's a faith issue. He goes, what do you mean? I think it's more of a relationship and a fellowship issue. And I explained, you know, my life was full of worry, fear, doubt, unbelief. But as my relationship in God grew, as my understanding of who he is like, a good God, his nature and his heart, he is for me, not against me. As that grew, my faith grows, which is quite amazing. We think, oh, I wish I had more faith. Maybe it's a relationship and a fellowship issue right now that you need just to re-engage to help you to have faith. Because once you know the heart and the nature and the character of God, that he is the same today, tomorrow and forever, what is the problem? Really? The problem is the unbelief that we don't have in God, in the ability that he's a great big God. We make our circumstances bigger than God. And God is so much bigger. When we came to Canada 15 years ago, Ashley was 6 years of age, comes out on the house we're living on the deck outside, says, Daddy, Daddy, I'm so excited. And I said, why? This is so big. And from where we came, Coronation Street, townhouse, it was big. And I love that. I remember that with fondness and the amazement in her voice and in her eyes. This is so big. God we serve, we love, is such a big God. He is so capable of helping us in our struggles, in all the negativities of that. He has got the promise and the provision in all of that. The guy went on and said, oh, I've got another question. He goes, you know, he said, I've been praying for 15 years, or I've been asking God, if you move that tissue box, it was a cushion, God, over to that bench, I will give you all my life. I would dedicate my life to you. That's the other question he gave me. I'm lying there, he's pulling on my shoulders as he's saying that. And I said, well, God's got a problem. He goes, what's that? He thinks he's God. He thinks he can do what he likes, how he likes, when he likes. And there's no really guarantee if he was to move that cross there, that in your rest of your life, as you said, you'll dedicate your life to him, that something might come up and you might not keep that promise. He goes, I've been asking that question to myself for 15 years. Have had nobody answer it. I've had nobody to sit down and talk to me. I go to church twice, Easter and Christmas. I come back with my wife and I said, I wish I could have an hour with that person who just preached or spoke to. And just the questions I had. But he has nobody. So we're going to go out for a coffee. Pray for me. But the point I'm saying is that there are people out there that are seeking God. There's people out there that are asking the questions. We need to be there for them. And it doesn't have to be complicated answers. They are, you know, maybe that was a little bit a deep one, and you wouldn't know how to answer that. However, you know, when Jesus sent his disciples out as lambs, innocent, uneducated, non-intelligent, not wise, immature, in Luke 10, and they came back and said, wow, even demons are subject to your name, Jesus, when we pray for them. And Jesus' response was, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise, the intelligent, the mature, the ones that have been trained. In fact, he did a leap and a skip. He rejoiced greatly in the Lord. How do you see Jesus? Dull and boring? Yeah, and so calm down now, guys. Calm down. I know there were, you know. No, the Bible says actually in his spirit, the Holy Spirit, he was rejoicing. He was leaping and excited about seeing the kingdom being in operation because these guys had childlike faith and just put a little bit into action that changed. That changed the atmosphere. Alison Brown in her book, Joyful Intentionality. The only thing we really got to offer people is not our ministries or our gifting, but our relationship with God. What he is like for us and what he really is like. The only thing. When I read that, I thought, yes. At the end of the day, it's only our walk with God that we really can offer the people what he really is like. This is, he's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. Because, how do I know that? Because he's been that to me. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's faithful. He will stand with me in the thick and the thin and the difficulties, the good, the bad and ugly. I can share that to another human being that doesn't know God so much or have a misconception or misidea. We all can do that, whatever level we're at, right? That share, we actually can do that. Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to people who walk like children. Netflix, AD Kingdom and Empire. Fred Nelson, you got us on that one. It's a six episodes. AD, Kingdom and Empire. It's about Jesus dying on the cross and then what the early church was birthed. And just going through that, really well done. and just seeing, you know, the pure excitement on the disciples' face and the childlike faith that they had in the miracles and in Jesus' resurrection and Jesus just kind of showing up here and there. You know, just that childlike faith growing that did many, many things. Interesting, at the end of Acts, the Bible records that actually there'd be people that become dull of hearing. All those miracles, all those wonders, encountered God in their lives, and yet they became dull in their hearts, dull in their hearings. They lost that childlike wonder and awe and the majesty of God and the beauty of just being saved and just the joy of knowing the freedom that their sins are forgiven. It became a duty rather than a desire to follow Jesus, to come to church, to pray, to give. We've always got to watch our hearts. Got to watch my heart. Anyway, better wrap this up, hey? Bob just said, you know, the girls went out to Jamestown to see a Lucy ball. I love Lucy. Was that a good impression? No. Totally bad. And, you know, Bob knew I was speaking on this. And then she just texted me. You know, they went to a 400-year-old cathedral, St. Luke's Cathedral. Had a great time in Jamestown, seeing where Lucy Ball was born and that. And the picture on their table in the church, 400-year church, says, "I love because we foster childlike joy and wonder. I love because we foster childlike joy and wonder." This is the church there.